B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Shabbos Daf Samech Aleph, and the Gemara starts on the last line, the last few words of Daf Samech Amud Beis. Says the Gemara, and this is a quote from the Mishnah we saw, V'loi b'yochid b'zman she'ein b'ragloi mako. A person is not allowed to go out with a single shoe on Shabbos unless he has a wound on his foot, in which case he's allowed to go out. Rashi on the Mishnah explained two reasons. Number one, in the name of the Yerushalmi, a person that goes out with one shoe, wearing one shoe, others will accuse him that he's actually carrying the other shoe somewhere tucked away under his clothes, and people will suspect him of Chilul Shabbos. The second explanation Rashi brings from his Rebbes, that if a person goes out with one shoe, others will ridicule him, and then that would make him take off the one shoe that he's wearing and carry it on Shabbos, which is Osa. Says the Gemara, Ha yesh b'ragloi maka, a person who has a wound on his foot, the Mishnah says, Nofik, he's allowed to go out with a single shoe. The question is, asks the Gemara, Bahai minayu nofik, which foot is he wearing the shoe on? The wounded foot or the not wounded foot? Omar Rav Huna, there's going to be machlokes in the Gemara. Rav Huna says, Ba'oiso sheyesh bo maka. He wears the shoe on the foot which is the wounded foot. Alma, so you see from there that Rav Huna holds Kosovar sandal l'shem tsar ovid. The only reason a person would wear sandals or shoes in the street is not just for added luxury and added comfort, but in order to protect himself from not getting hurt on the pebbles and the uneven surfaces of the streets. Some people, they don't need it. Some people, they have thick soles of their on their feet and they can walk fine without shoes. And others do need it. Rav Huna said that a person who has a wounded foot, he would clearly be wearing his shoe on the wounded foot, because a wounded foot is even more fragile and even more going to get hurt from the street. And therefore, if he's wearing one shoe, and that one shoe is on the wounded foot, everybody will understand that the other foot has a thick sole and doesn't need shoes. And this wounded foot needs a shoe in order to protect it, and nobody will assume that he's hiding the other shoe somewhere under his clothes. V'chia barav omar. Chia barav argues with Rav Huna and says, Bo'isa she'ein bo make. He puts the shoe onto the foot which is not wounded. Alma kasova l'shum tainug ovad. Rav Chia Barav holds that a person does not wear shoes in order not to have pain, not to be hurt by the floor, by the streets. Rather, he only wears a shoe if he wants to have added luxury and comfort. And therefore, there is never a good reason to be wearing shoes and not to wear it on a healthy foot. And therefore, this one shoe that he's wearing would definitely be on the healthy foot. Whereas if he would just wear one shoe, people would suspect him of carrying the other shoe under his clothes. Over here, where the wounded foot does not have a shoe on, people will assume that it's because of the wound he can't get the shoe on, and that's why he's not wearing a shoe. Says the Gemara of Afri Yechanan Sovar Lo Lahod Rav Huna. Rav Yechanan also follows what Rav Huna holds. Da'omar Le Rav Yechanan L'Rav Shemen Bar Abba. Rav Yechanan says to Rav Shemen Bar Abba, Havli Mesanoi, bring me my shoes, bring me a shoe. Yoav Le Diyamin, he brought him the right hand shoe. Omar Le Asi Osoi Maka, you're going to make me look as if I have a wound. What does that mean? It's clear from Rabbi Yechanan that he was not planning on putting on the left foot, the left shoe, after the right shoe. We'll soon see in the Gemara why. Wearing a shoe just on the right foot, and Rabbi Yechanan says, since if I go out with a shoe just on the right foot, it would look as if I have a maka. So you see clearly that Rabbi Yechanan was assuming that when you have a maka, it's the foot which is the wounded one that you put the shoe on, and that follows Rav Huna, who says that a person wears shoes in order to protect himself from the street, and a wounded foot needs even more protection. Says the Gemara, no. V'dilma k'chia barav svirulei. It could be that Rabbi Yechanan holds like Chia barav, And it's the wounded foot that does not get the shoe. It's the well shoe. It's the foot that is well, that is not wounded, that gets the shoe. So what does it mean that Rabbi Yochanan said that wearing one shoe is going to make me look as if it's wounded? He means the other foot. I'll wear one shoe on the right foot. The right-hand shoe is the one that he was brought. And according to Chir Barav, the wounded foot is the one that does not have the shoe. See, so what Rabbi Yochanan meant was, I'll wear my right foot, and then you're making it as if my left foot is chole, as if my left foot has a wound on it. V'hochi ko'omar, osiyusof shel smoil maka. By wearing a right-hand foot, it will be as if my left-hand foot has a wound on, and according to Chir Barav, a wounded foot is the one that would not have a shoe on, because the wound is going to stop, is going to prevent oneself putting a shoe on. So either way, that was the machlokes between Rav Huna and Chir Barav. Another Gemara continues to explain why would Rabbi Yochanan not have been prepared to take the left-hand shoe and put that one on afterwards. V'oz de Rabbi Yochanan etameh, this is Rabbi Yochanan following his own opinion regarding some custom with the shoes. D'omer Rabbi Yochanan, kitfilin, kach min olin. There's some similarity between tying tefillin and tying one's shoes. Ma tefillin, in the same way as tefillin, the Gemara says explicitly in Maseches Menachos, bismoil, it's learnt out from a pasuk that tefillin are worn on the left hand. Af min olin, so too bismoil, one puts on the left hand, the left foot, the left shoe before the right shoe, and after the right shoe, it's inappropriate to put on the left one. If there's going to be a left shoe, it's got to be first. After the right shoe, there's no left shoe. You don't give precedence to the right over the left regarding putting on shoes. Asks the Gemara Meisvei, this custom of Rabbi Yochanan seems to contradict the Braisa. It says in the Braisa, Keshehu noil, when putting on shoes, noil shel yamin v'achar kach noil shel smoil. You first put on the right foot and then the left foot. Contrary to Rabbi Yochanan, who refused to put on the left shoe after the right shoe. Omer Rav Yosef, hashtu detanya hachi. Rav Yosef assumed that there's no argument between them. If you want, you can give preference to the right, as one always does. The right is more prominent, is more chashuv. If you want, you can give chashivos to the left, because the left tefillin is put on the left. You can do whatever you want. Hashtu detanya hachi. V'omer Rabbi Yochanan hachi, we have a braisa one way, Rabbi Yochanan the other way. Da'ovad hachi, ovad, you want to follow the braisa, you can follow the braisa. Or da'ovad hachi, ovad, if you want to follow Rabbi Yochanan, you can follow Rabbi Yochanan. Omer le Abaya, Abaya said it's not so straightforward that there's no argument here. Ikdilma, it could be Rabbi Yochanan ho masnisin loy have a shemirle. It could be Rabbi Yochanan didn't know about this braisa, vi have a shemirle, have a hodarbe. Maybe Rabbi Yochanan only said what he said because he didn't know about the braisa, but had he known about the braisa, he would have held like the braisa. And he would not have done what he always did, to first put on the left and then the right. V'inam yor, it could be, shmi'alei, maybe Rabbi Yochanan heard of the braisa, ukosover ein halacha ko'isa braisa, ko'isa mishnah, and he held that the halacha is not like the braisa, in which case the halacha would be like Rabbi Yochanan, and one should not follow that braisa. So either way, Abai is saying to Rav Yosef, don't take it for granted that there's no machlekas here. Omer Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok said that a Yirei Shamayim, somebody that wants to steer away from doubts, from sveikos, Yotzei Yidei Shneim, he should do something that he's doing both. He's following the Braisa and Rav Yochanan. He's doing the left first and the right first. How does that work? How can you put on your left shoe and your right shoe first? He explains, Umanu marbrei deravina. This Yirei Shemayim is marbrei deravina. What did he do? Heicha of it. How did he put on his shoes? Siim diyamine. He put on his right shoe first. Veloi kotar. He did not close it. He didn't tie it. Vesiim de smol. And then he put on the left foot, the left shoe. So he's given prominence and precedence to the right, as one always does, like it says in the Braisa. But he did not tie the right shoe. V'kotar, and then he tied the left shoe. V'hodar kotar d'yamina. The comparison between the shoes and the tefillin, conforming with what Rabbi Yochanan said, was to do with the tying, because we know that tefillin are tied. So you tie the left shoe before tying the right shoe. Omer Ravashi. Ravashi seems to be another opinion. Chazina, he says he saw Rav Kahana delay copied. Rav Kahana didn't give precedence to any. He sometimes put the right one on first. He sometimes put the left one on first. He didn't give any chashivas to which one was first. Continues the Gemara, Tonu Rabbonon. Kashuhu noyel, noyel shel yamin, v'achar kach noyel shel smoyl. The Braisa says when you put on a shoe, one should first put on the shoe, the right-hand shoe, and then the left-hand shoe. Ukushu choylitz, when he takes off his shoes, choylitz shel smoyl, he should keep the right-hand shoe on his body as long as possible. That's the chashivus, the prominence of the right-hand shoe, that it stays on the longest. Take off the left-hand shoe first. V'charka choylitz shel yamin, and then you take off the right-hand shoe, the right shoe. Ukushu roichutz, when he washes himself, roichutz shel yamin, you give prominence always to the right. You wash the right hand side first. V'acharkach roichutz shel smoil, and then you wash the left side. Ukushu soch, when he anoints himself, soch shel yamin, he should first anoint his right side. V'acharkach shel smoil, and then he should anoint the left side. V'roitze losoch kol gufo, somebody who wants to anoint his whole body, soch roishay tchila, he should first anoint his head. Mipnei shehu melech al kol eivor, of the head is the king of all the limbs of one's body. After the head is the right and then the left. Continues the Gemara. V'loi b'tfilin, we saw in the Mishnah that a person should not go out with tfilin on Shabbos. And says the Gemara. Omar of Safra, loi teima libed man de Omar, Shabbos lavs man tfilin hu. It goes without saying that according to the opinion who says that Shabbos is not a day that one puts on tefillin, then of course you don't go out into Rosh Hashanah with it, because when you're doing the mitzvah of tefillin, it's part of your attire, it's part of your levush, and you go out with it. If you can't do the mitzvah of tefillin, then you should not go out with your tefillin on Shabbos. El afilu leman de'omar Shabbos man tefillin hu. Even according to those opinions that min ha'toira, Shabbos is like every other weekday, and one is required to wear tefillin on Shabbos. Nonetheless, lo yetzei, he should not go out into the Rosh Hashanah with it. Dilma osi lesuyeh b'Rosh Hashanah, because he may go take it off in the Rosh Hashanah. He may have to relieve himself and go to one of the places where they would, to what we would call a bathroom, but it was out in the fields, and he would carry his tefillin in his hand, because especially the tefillin shel roish, and it's a discussion about the tefillin shel yad, but the tefillin shel roish is not allowed to be worn when relieving oneself. He would take off the tefillin and carry in the Rosh Hashanah. V'ikad masni la sefer, the Gemara says, some say this on the next few words of the Mishnah, that it says in the Mishnah you shouldn't wear the tefillin, but if you did wear tefillin outside on Shabbos, you're not chayev chatos. V'im yotzo ine chayev chatos. Means min ha-toira, wearing tefillin is not considered a burden. Omer of Safra, and on this Rav Safra said, loy teima libe demando omer Shabbos man tefillin hu. According to the opinion that says that, strictly speaking, Shabbos is a day when one should wear tefillin, of course it's not a burden. It's part of your levush. You're wearing tefillin. So, of course, you're not going to be chayev. Even though you shouldn't have gone out, because you're taking a risk of by mistake carrying in Rosh Hashanah, but you're clearly not chayev chatos. You have not transgressed a biblical issa by going out with your tefillin. Elo afilu leman de'omar Shabbos lavs man tefillin hu, even according to the opinion that says that Shabbos is not a day to wear tefillin, einu chayev chatos. And this is a chiddush. Even though you're not mekayim mitzvah tefillin, so it would seem that you're just walking out with a burden. And that should be carrying. Why not chayev chatos? Mai tama derech malbush avida. Even during the week, when a person wears tefillin, you don't say he's carrying tefillin. You say he's wearing tefillin. Tefillin is something that's worn. Somebody who goes out with a levush, with clothing, that's not called carrying. So even according to the opinion that says Shabbos lavs man tefillin, and you're not being mekayim the mitzvah of tefillin with on Shabbos, but nonetheless you are wearing the tefillin. And therefore, biblically speaking, it's not called a burden, and therefore there's no chiyuv chatos. Continues the Gemara. V'loi b'kamiya b'zman she'enoi min ha-mumcha. A person should not go out with an amulet which is not min ha-mumcha. And when we explain the Mishnah, I explained it just in the way that, as we've seen previously in Maseches Shabbos, there's two types of mumcha. An amulet could be written by an expert doctor or an expert in writing amulets, or it could be Mumcha means the amulet itself has proven to be effective. The amulet is the mumcha. And when we learned the Mishnah, I said, we explained with both. And the Gemara is going to discuss that now. Omer Rav Papa. Rav Papa says, Loi Tema, don't learn into the Mishnah that ad mumcha gavra umumcha kamiya, that you're only allowed to go out with a type of amulet which is also the gavra. The gavra is the person who wrote it. The doctor or rabbi or whoever wrote it is the gavra, the person. And don't say that it means that the gavra, the person, is the mumcha, is the expert. And umumcha kmiya, the kmiya is the amulet. Mumcha kmiya, it has to be a type of amulet which has proven to be effective. Let's try and remember what these words mean so we shouldn't have to keep translating them. Don't say that the Mishnah says you need mumcha gavra and mumcha kmiya. No, elokiven de mumcha gavra, it's sufficient that the gavra, the person that wrote the kmiya, is an expert. Afal gavda le mumcha kmiya, even though this kmiya is not been proven to be effective. Daikanami, and proof to this can be from the wording of the Mishnah. Diktoni says in the Mishnah, V'loi b'kamiya b'zman she'enoi min ha-mumcha. You should not go out with a kamiya when it's not min ha-mumcha, from a mumcha, from an expert. V'loi katoni b'zman she'enoi mumcha. It doesn't say don't go out with a kamiya when the kamiya is not a mumcha. That would mean that you're only allowed to go out with a kamiya that's been proven to be effective. That's not what it says in the Mishnah. It says that the kamiya has to originate mina mumcha, from somebody who is an expert. Shma mino, that's proof to Rav Papa. Now Rashi on that Gemara has two explanations. We're going to follow the second explanation, which is one that conforms with Rashi in the sugya later on. The Rashi says as follows. What does it mean that a kamiya, an amulet, is a mumcha, has been proven to be effective? It means that the same amulet has been used for three different people and has healed them. Then one amulet, it doesn't matter if it was written by one person or if each of the three amulets were written by three different people, but it's the same amulet. That means it's the same, I wouldn't call it a prescription, the same amulet, the same kamiya has been prepared either by one person or by three people, and it was given to three different people who are suffering from the same ailment, the same illness. So this one type of kamiya healed three people. That's called that the kamiya is now a mumcha. What's called ismachi gavra? If you have one person, a doctor, a rabbi, whoever it is, one person who wrote three different types of amulets for three different types of illnesses and gave each one to a different person. He wrote one type of amulet and gave it to Reuven, a different type of amulet to Shimon, a different one and gave it to Levi. Reuven, Shimon, and Levi were each suffering from three different ailments. And these were three different kamiyas. And all three got healed. So obviously, any one of those amulets have not proven to be effective. They only worked once. Proof that it's effective is if it works three times. But since one person wrote three different amulets and they all worked, they all healed, the person who wrote it is now called Ismachi Gavra, and if this person writes any other type of kamiya, even a type of kamiya, any other kamiya, if a kamiya that has been proven to be effective or hasn't been proven to be effective, if it's written by somebody who has in the past healed people by writing three different kamiyas, all his kamiyas are called Ismachi Gavra. It's coming from a person who's proven to be an expert. That is Ismachi Gavra and Ismachi Kamiya. That's how Rashi explains it in the second pshat of Rashi. Continues the Gemara. Tonu Rabbonon, we saw in the Braisa. Ezo kamiya mumcha. We're talking here about a kamiya mumcha. An amulet that's been proven to be effective is what makes an amulet a mumcha. Kol sheripo v'shono v'sholosh. If this kamiya has healed once, twice, three times, even one person. If a kamiya is healed three times, it's called a kamiya mumcha. Echod kamiya shel ksav, irrespective if it's an amulet that's been written, which is typically the amulets we've been speaking about. Ve'echod kamiya shel ikrin, the word kamiya actually means a bundle, a packet, and it's often what one holds in this bundle is a piece of parchment with some holy letters and holy names written, or psukim written on them, as we'll see later on in the Gemara. But there's also a packet of herbs that a person could wear around their neck or hold in their hands or anything else. We'll see more of this later. And that's also called the kamir. And as long as this kamir has healed once, twice, three times, it's called the kamir mumcha, irrespective if it's the type of kamir of ksav, written, or if it's a kamir shel ikrin of these herbs. Echot chayla sheyesh bei sakon, irrespective of whether it healed a chayla, somebody who was sick, very dangerously sick. Ve'echot chayla she'en bei sakon, or if somebody was just sick, but he wasn't in danger of life, and this amulet saved him. Loi shenichpe, not only if it's somebody who was already sick and it healed him, ela shelo yichpe, not only is a person who is sick allowed to go out with a kamir mumcha, but even somebody who's not sick but he's afraid he's going to be sick, there's sickness in the family. The typical example that Rashi speaks about here is if he's afraid of having epileptic attacks, which other members of his family have had, and in order to avoid that, to keep him safe, he's allowed to go out with such an amulet even on Shabbos. V'koysher u'matir, and he's allowed to tie it and untie it. Afilu b'rushus harabim, you cannot carry it in rushus harabim, but you can take it on and off in rushus harabim. U'bilvad shelo yakshirenu b'shir, as long as it's tied directly round a person's neck or on his body directly, and not tied as a type of a pendant on a shear, on a bracelet, or betabas, or on a ring. V'yotze boy b'rushus harabim, he's allowed to go out with it in rushus harabim, and that he's not allowed to do. That means if it's tied to a bracelet or to a ring, then he's not allowed to go into rushus harabim mishum maras ayin, because it does not look like an amulet that he's wearing for healing purposes, because typically those amulets are worn directly round a person's wrist or round a person's neck or whatever it is, but it's not typically hung from a bracelet or a ring. And since he's hanging it on a bracelet or ring, it looks, or it's as if he's treating it as if it's an ornament, when in truth it's not an ornament, and therefore he should not do that, because it will mislead people. People will think that amulets are ornaments, and they're not. And since he doesn't want to mislead people, he should not go out like that on Shabbos. He's only allowed to go out with it if it's worn round his neck or directly on his body. Ask the Gemara. We just saw in the Braisa that what makes a kamir mumcha is if one kamir healed once, twice, three times, even a single person. Votanya, we learned in a different Braisa, is a kamir mumcha. What makes a kamir mumcha? How do we know that a kamir, an amulet, is proven to be effective? Kol sheripe gimel bnei adam keechod. If it healed three people, if this one type of amulet healed three people, then it's a kamir mumcha, and not that that if it heals three times one person. And this seems to be a contradiction. Says the Gemara Lo Ikashya, Holim Achuya Gavra, Holim Achuya Kmiya. It's true that in both Brises, reference was made to Kmiya Mumcha, but the Mumchias, the expertise, is not the same in both. In the first Brise we learned, there it's talking about Ismachi Kmiya, just in order to prove that a certain amulet is effective. For that, it's enough. It doesn't matter if one person wrote it or if it was written, the same amulet was written three times by one person or three times by three different people. That's not the point. The point of the first braisa is, since this is one amulet, one formula, one text, or in the case of ikrim, if it's one type of mixture of herbs, and it was given to either three people or even to one person and it healed him three times, that's called a kamir mumcha. That's called a kamir mumcha. The second braisa that says that it has to heal three people, that's talking about when we're trying to do ismachi gavra. We're trying to prove that the person who wrote the kamirs is an expert. And the only way to do that is if he writes three different kamirs and gives it to three different people. If one expert who writes three different kamirs and they heal these people, and the reason they're talking about three people is because typically three people would not be sick from the same ailment. So he's writing it for three Gimel B'nai Adam, three people, each one a different amulet because each one is sick with a different ailment, then, and he heals all three, then even though each one of those kamiyos are not yet proven to be effective because they only worked once, but the one who wrote it is certainly called an expert because he managed to heal three people with these amulets. Even though this second braisa starts, Ezehu kamiyah mumcha, what is a kamiyah mumcha? So we would have thought, and that's actually why the Gemara asked the question, that it's talking about the efficiency of the kamiyah. And now in the answer of the Gemara, we say that this second braisa is not talking about the efficiency of the kamiyah, it's talking about the expertise of the one that wrote the kamiyah, the gavra. So the Ritva asks that question, and the Ritva says that the word kamiyah mumcha can mean a kamiyah of a mumcha, an amulet of an expert, not a provenly efficient kamiyah. Continues the Gemara, Omer of Papa. Now Rav Papa is going to tell us some more halachas of when, what sort of situation, what has to happen for a gavra to be mumcha, for the person who's written the kamiyah to become an expert, and what has to happen in order to for us to know that a specific type of kamiyah, a specific type of formula of an amulet of an amulet is called a proven to be effective, and then possibly even if other people use the same formula, that formula will be effective. Omer of Papa. Rav Papa says as follows, Pshitali, it's clear to me, Tlas Kamiya Litlas Gavri. If a single person, let's call it a doctor, if a single doctor wrote three different types of Kamiyas for three different ailments, and he gave each of those to three different people, that means Reuven, Shimon, Levi had one ailment, he gave each of them an amulet with one particular formula. And then another three people had a different ailment, and he gave each of those three another type of amulet. And then another three had another, yet another ailment and gave them three. So we've got nine amulets here, three times three different amulets, and he gave it to nine people, and they were all written by the same doctor. Tlas Kamiya, three different types of amulets, Litlas Gavra, and he gave them to three people, Tlasa Tlasa. Three groups of three people, Tlosa Zimni, each he gave it three times. And the truth is, it doesn't matter if he gave it to three people, each amulet, or even if the same amulet healed the same person three times. If Reuven had one ailment, and one particular amulet was given to Reuven, and it healed him three times, and the same with the second amulet and the same with the third, that means there were three amulets here and each one healed three times, either the same person or three different sick people. In that case, Ismachi Gavra, the doctor who wrote them is clearly called an expert, Vismachi Kmiya, and each of those amulets, that these amulets healed either one or three either three different people or three times the same person, this is called an amulet that is proven to be efficient. Continues Rav Papa, Tlasa Kami, if a single doctor wrote three different amulets, Tlasa Gavri, Chad Chad Zimna, and he gave each amulet to one person, to a different person. Reuven had one ailment, he gave him one Kamiya. Shimon a different ailment, he gave him a different Kamiya. Levi a different ailment, and he gave him a different Kamiya. And they all got healed. Then in that case, Gavra Ismachi, the doctor who wrote these amulets, has proven himself to be an expert at writing amulets. Three people got healed. Kamiya lo Ismachi, but each amulet is not been proven to be effective to the extent that anybody can use it as if it's a proven amulet, because each one of these amulets only healed one person. Continues the Rav Papa, Chad Kamiya Litlasa Gavra. If one doctor wrote one amulet and he gave it to three different people, the same ailments, three people suffered from the same ailment, and he wrote this amulet and it healed three people suffering from the same problem. Chad Kamiya Litlasa Gavra, Kamiya Ismachi. Then it's clear that this amulet has proven to be effective, it's healed three people. Gavra lo yismachi, but this particular doctor has not been proven to be an expert at writing amulets, because he's all of written one amulet, he wrote it three times. but he's not an expert in writing amulets to the extent that we can assume that any other amulets he writes is coming from an expert doctor. He's not yet an expert doctor unless he's healed people with three different amulets. Boyer of Popper, but Popper now says there's a fourth case, and here he's got a question. If you had the same doctor who was healing the same patient, and this patient had three different ailments, and the doctor wrote to him three different amulets. My, what's the halacha? Now, it's clear that each amulet is not called, it's not been proven to be effective because he only used each one once. The question is, because it healed this one person from three illnesses, can we say that the doctor is proven to be an expert? Or do we say, no, it could be, it's just luck that this one patient had his Siyata Dishmaya, that he got healed from these three amulets. But because it's a single patient and a single doctor and a single patient, who says that it's the expertise of the doctor more than the muzzle of the Chayle? That's going to be a question of Rav Popper. Boyer of Popper, Klasik Kamiya, if three different amulets were written Lechad Gavro for one person, Mai. What's the halacha? Kamiya Vadalo Yismachi. It's clear to us that each amulet is not proven to be effective because each one only healed once. Gavra Ismachi, do we say that the doctor who wrote these three is called an expert doctor as if he healed three different people? Or do we not assume that this is a proof that he's an expert doctor? Mi omrinon, do we say, at the end of the day, he cured him from three different illnesses, he's an expert doctor? Or dilmo, maybe, mazle da'i gavra, it was the muzzle of this patient, hudakom mekabil ksava, that was particularly receptive to the formulas written on these three amulets, and therefore it does not prove that this doctor is an expert regarding other patients. The Gemara says, Teiku, we have to let that stand. We do not have any way of resolving that. Continues the Gemara. Iboiluhu, kmi'in yesh bohen mishum kedusha, oidilma in bohen mishum kedusha. Very often in these amulets, there were shemois, there were written holy names, sometimes psukim, and other holy things are written in these kamiyos. Do these kamiyos have kedusha or not? Asks the Gemara Lamai Hilchasa. What's the difference? What's the halachic ramification on whether they have kedusha or not? Are you going to say it makes a difference regarding if there's chas v'shalom a shefa, if there's a fire in a home, and you want to know, can you save these amulets together with other things that one's allowed to save, as we'll see later on in Maseches Shabbos, that certain things you're allowed to take out of a burning house into a place, assuming there's an Eruv. Are you allowed to take out these amulets? The Gemara says, Toshema, this is an explicit brisa, Habrochis v'akmin, afal pishyesh ben oisyes, either brochis or kmin, that have psukim in, the brochas that have psukim in, for example, on Rosh Hashanah, we have Malchus, Zechroinus, Shofreis, where there's 10 psukim in each, either brochis or amulets, afal pishyesh ben oisyes, they have letters and words of Hashem's names, of the Torah, umi inyonois harbe sheba Torah, and many other topics of Torah written in them, ein matzilinois and mipnei adeleika. You're not allowed to save them from a burning house. V'nisrafen b'mekoimon. Unfortunately, they will get burnt with the house. And this is pending on how we're going to learn the Gemara later on. We'll see there. So that cannot have been the question here. You want to know whether Kamiya is allowed to save. It's clear that you're not allowed to save it from the fire. Elo le'inyin gniza. So what was the ramification of your question? Whether they need gniza. Something that's got kedusha. You're not allowed to throw it into the trash, into the dustbin. It has to be disposed of with kedusha. That's called gniza. It has to be buried in a respectful manner. Toshema. It's explicit. We learned explicitly in a brisa. Hoyo kosuv al yodo is hakelim v'al kari hamito. If you've got psukim or holy letters and names written on handles of utensils or on the feet of a person's bed, yigoid, you should cut away those psukim, those parts, v'yignezenu. You have to be goinez them. So that's clear. What's the question? Eloli konis behen bebeis hakisei mai. The question is, are you allowed to go with these amulets into a bathroom, into a place that's not clean, where a person would relieve himself there? Yesh ben Kedusha. Do we say that the level of Kedusha these amulets have, and it's va'asur, it's also to go into these places? Oy dilma ein ben Kedusha, or they do not have Kedusha, v'shari, and one's allowed to go into Beis HaKisei with these amulets. So we're going to try and bring proof. Tashema v'loi b'kemiya b'zman she'enoi min ha-mumcha. We saw in our Mishnah that you're not allowed to go out on Shabbos with an amulet if it's enoi min ha-mumcha, if it doesn't come from an expert. So the Gemara says, and as we've seen, ha min ha-mumcha, if an expert wrote an amulet, nafik, you're allowed to wear it on Shabbos. Ve'i omris k'miyin yesh ben mishum kedusha, if you say that these amulets have kedusha, and you're not allowed to go with them into the bathrooms, zimnin demitzdarech lebeis hakisei, he may have to go to such a place, and as we mentioned previously, in the times of the Gemara, the bathrooms were outside in the fields, and ve'osi le'isinu dalet amas b'shus rabim, he'll have to remove these amulets because he can't take them into the Beis HaKisei, and he may end up carrying them for Amos in Rishus HaRabim, because if they have Kedusha, you can't go in. So how can the Mishnah say that you're allowed to go out with these type of amulets on Shabbos? You're going to cause him to carry in Rishus HaRabim. So from here we can deduce, V'osilis inu dalad Amos b'Rishus HaRabim, he's going to go for Amos in Rishus HaRabim, and the fact that the Mishnah was not worried about that, we can deduce from here that there's no Kedusha on these amulets, and you're allowed to take them into Beis HaKisei, and therefore there's no risk that he's going to carry on Shabbos. Says the Gemara, no. Hachab mayaskinon, it could be that the truth is they do have Kedusha. The Mishnah that says that you're allowed to go out with an amulet written by or prepared by an expert, b'kamiyah shel ikrin, the Mishnah is possibly only talking about a type of amulet that doesn't have parchment with holy names and letters written on them. It's talking about a package with herbs in them, and that you're allowed to go out with. There's clearly no Kedusha on those. V'otanya, says the Gemara, did we not learn in the Braisa, echod k'miyo shel k'sav v'echod k'miyo shel ikrin, that you're allowed to go out on Shabbos not only with a k'miyo, which is of herbs, but you're even allowed to go out with a written k'miyo. So you see clearly that we allow you on Shabbos to go out with a written k'miyo. So we get back to our proof. If there was Kedusha, how could you go out with them? You wouldn't be allowed to take them to the Beis HaKisei. You may end up carrying them. So it must be there's no Kedusha. We're back to our proof. Says the Gemara, no. Ela hochab ma'eskinon, no. It could be that they do have Kedusha. And the reason you're allowed to go out with them is b'chayla shuyesh ba'eskinon. We're talking about that the person wearing it is dangerously ill. And this kamiya may be saving his life. And he's not going to take it off, even if he has to go into Beis HaKisei, because it's sakonas nefoshes, it's dangerous. Says the Gemara of Otanya, but we learnt in the Braisa, echot choyle sheyesh bei sakona, ve'echot choyle she'ein bei sakona. We learnt in the Braisa that even a choyle she'ein bei sakona, who's not dangerously ill, is allowed to go out with these on Shabbos. And therefore, if there would be Kedusha, he would have to remove it before going into the Beis HaKisei, and he may end up carrying on Shabbos. So we again have proof that there's no Kedusha. Says the Gemara, Elokiven demosi afal gav denokit le beyode nami shapir domi. The Gemara says that the truth is, even if he takes it off and he carries it, since this is giving him protection for his health, then holding it in his hand is not considered a burden. So it's true that he has to take it off him, he has to hold it and before going into the Beis HaKisei, and taking it off means he might hold it in his hand, and then it's not being worn anymore as a type of something he wears, a clothes or whatever he's wearing, however, whatever it's going to be called, but he's holding it in his hand. Nonetheless, it's not called a burden, because it's healing him, and he would be, biblically speaking, he would be allowed to go out in Rishus HaRabim holding such a thing in his hand, because it's keeping him safe. Even if he's holding it in his hand, nami shapir domi, it's okay. Minatayra. Ask the Gemara. But even this is we can refute this. What Tanya did we not learn in a brisa? Reb Oishia Oimer, that it's clear you're not allowed to walk with an amulet in Rishus HaRabim. And since you're not allowed to hold it in your hand, then it must be that there's no Kedusha, and therefore you don't have to take it off before going to the Beis HaKisei, because if there is Kedusha, you may take it off before going to the Beis HaKisei. You have to take it off before you go into the Beis HaKisei, and you may come to hold, to carry it in your hand, and you're not allowed to carry it in your hand. So it must be there's no Kedusha. Says the Gemara, no hochab mayaskinon, the Mishnah is talking about b'mechupa oir. It's talking about an amulet that's covered, has a leather pouch, and therefore one would be allowed to go into a beis hakiseh with it. It's true it has kedusha, and if it did not have this leather pouch, one would have to take it off. Since it has a leather pouch, you don't have to take it off, and that's the one you can go out with on Shabbos. Asks the Gemara, vari tefillin. We know that tefillin, let's just talk about the tefillin shel roish, where there's no discussion that this is accurate, that there's parashiyos inside the tefillin, but they are covered in leather. The bottom of the tefillin, the boxes of the tefillin, the bottom, they are covering the tefillin. So the fact that the parashiyos of the tefillin certainly have kedusha, they wouldn't be allowed to take them into Beis HaKiseh. According to what we just said now, the fact that they're covered by the tefillin would mean you're allowed to go into Beis HaKiseh with it. Vare tefillin de mechupa oir, tefillin are coated, they have a covering of leather. V'tanya, and nonetheless we learnt in a brisa, anichnas lebeis hakisei, somebody who goes into a beis hakisei, choylet tefillin barochik arba amis. He has to take his tefillin off his head 4 amos away from the beis hakisei. V'nichnas, and then he goes into the beis hakisei. So having a pouch doesn't help if it's kedusha. And then we're back to the proof that it must be the amulets do not have kedusha. Says the Gemara, no. The truth is that even if the amulet has kedusha, the pouch of leather would help. Why with tefillin is it different? Hasam mishum shein. On the batim of the tefillin shel roish, on the batim itself is part of the kedusha because there's letters of kedusha written on it. The Hashem's name, one of Hashem's names is Shakai, shein dalad and yud, and the shein is actually carved out or embossed onto the batim of the tefillin. And therefore, since the tefillin themselves are carrying the letters, they're not covered with the leather. The leather themselves is holding the letters of the kedusha, and therefore you have to take them off. The Omar Abaya, Abaya said, Shin shel tefillin, the embossed letter of shin on the tefillin, halocha l'moishi misinai, it's halocha l'moishi misinai. The Omar Abaya, and Abaya said, Dalet shel tefillin, there's also on the knot of the tefillin sharosh at the back of the head, there's a letter dalud. That's the second letter of that name of Hashem. Halacha l'Moshe miSinai. There's halacha l'Moshe miSinai tradition all the way back to Moshe Rabbeinu, that you have to have that dalud. V'omar Abaye yud shel tefillin. There's also a yud on the straps of the tefillin, and there too are halacha l'Moshe miSinai. These three letters together comprise Hashem's name, which is very holy, called Shakai, and therefore you can't take the tefillin. So the bottom line, we do not have a proof that these amulets do not have kedusha. It could be they have kedusha, but they're coated in leather. Says the Gemara, we saw in the Mishnah, v'loy b'shirion, v'loy b'kasto, v'loy b'magapayim. A person is not allowed to go out with a coat of mail, coat of armor, v'loy b'kasto, which we translated in the Mishnah as being a helmet. We'll soon see that according to Rashi, that's not so accurate. V'loy b'magapayim, and not with something protecting his foot and his legs, shin guards. Let's see the Gemara. The Gemara says, Shirion, what's Shirion? Zarda. It's a coat of mail, a coat of armor made of lots of little coins, little metal pieces. Kazda, what's the Kazda? Omarav, snuv arta. And Rashi explains this is not the helmet. The Rambam says it's the helmet that they would wear in the army. They would have this metal helmet. That's how the Rambam says. Rashi says that under the helmet, they would wear a type of leather cap that would be sticking out on their necks. And that is this kazda. And you're not allowed to go out with that on Shabbos. Magapayim, what's magapayim? Omarav puzmuki. That's what we mentioned before. These anpeloyes, these are these metal coatings, these shin guards covering the foot and the leg. And in Mirtz Hashem, in the next year, we're going to learn the Mishnah.